This is Rabbi Yaakov Fish here on my weekly podcast, Let There Be Light. And as I say the words, let there be light, I mean it more with more intent, more kavana than ever. Let there be light. As we look onto the world that's filled with darkness, I wonder when the light will finally break through. And sorry if I'm starting off on such a gloomy note. I'm having a difficult time, projecting optimism and joy. And normally I try to be much more optimistic. But I'm really trying to be very real with you and with my feelings over here. And there's a lot going on in the world. A lot of problems. A lot of trials and tribulations. A lot of stress. A lot of chaos. A lot of issues that the coronavirus and everything that it brings with it. And here we are, 7 months, well, 7 months into, at least in the United States, and so many different layers, of the virus that seeped into our life. And done a lot of thinking, I'm sure everybody else has, and everyone comes to their own conclusions. I just want to share with you a couple thoughts, and not necessarily happy thoughts, but sobering thoughts, and just feel it's necessary to share. I'll just start off by saying, there's this old movie with Tom Cruise, and this a scene with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. I think the movie was called A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise has Jack Nicholson on the witness stand. They're both in the military court, and he's badgering him on the witness stand. Cruise is badgering Nicholson on the witness stand. He says, "I want the truth." And Nicholson, in this moment of truth, so to speak, no pun intended, and he fires back. He's this very prestigious colonel within the U.S. Marines. He says, "You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth." And that was a turning point in the film. That's what I think, in a sense, that we're going through now, at least the way I see things. We say we want the truth, but can we handle the truth? I'm talking about from a spiritual perspective. We want to know what's going on, why this is happening. We want to know where Hashem is over here. We want to know where God's hand is. But can we handle the truth? Can we handle it? We're fed up with the Hester pun, and we're fed up with God's concealed face. We're fed up with it. But if we knew why this was happening, can we handle it? There's this chilling verse in this week's Torah portion, this week's Parsha. Parshas Noach, the second Parsha of the year, where God destroys the world because of man's behavior, which has gone off the charts. Poor behavior that has been corrupt. But there's this pasuk in the beginning of the parsha, this verse passage in the beginning of the parsha, which I find chilling. The verse is "Vayomer l'kim Noach." God tells Noah, "Ketz kol basar b'lefonai." The end of all flesh has come before me. What's this expression of "Ketz kol basar"? It's the end. I've reached the end. God has reached the end. Even kaviyochol, God's patience has run out with man. It's the end. People back then were living, 700, 800, 900 years. Last week's Parsha, there was this, I think it was Chanoch, who only lived 365 years, and he passed away, prime of his life. It says, "Ve'inenu ki lakach oso kim," God took him, prime of his life. Imagine his funeral, people were saying, oh, he died at the prime of his life. He's only 365 years old. But back then, people lived very, very long lives, and they had long, long opportunities to be corrupt. But that's not my main point. My main point is, Kate's called Basar Bolofani. It's the end, meaning we would say in our lingo today, the party's over. The party is over. God has tolerated this for a very long time, but the party's over. So this is the way I understand it. You know, in the Mesillas Yesharim, the book written by Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, it's a fascinating book. We could, you know, a classic Musar book. He talks about the difference between the balance, rather, between Rachamim and Din, compassion and justice. God rules this world with justice, but He also rules this world with compassion. So how do the two intertwine, or how do they, you know, does compassion mean, oh, don't worry about it? And if God rules that way, so what does that mean to with justice? So he says, no, that's not what it means. When it says that God has compassion, God's not going to say, don't worry about it. You know, for every action that a person does in this world, there are consequences. So what does Rachamim accomplish? So he says in the fourth chapter of Mesillas Yesharim, Vim tomar ken midas harachamim l'mahi omedes. What does attribute of compassion accomplish? So he says it accomplishes three things. Number one, it delays the punishment. Delays the punishment. Number two, it tempers the act of judgment. And number three, it gives the person the opportunity to repent. So it's basically like a grace period. It's a grace period. So again, there are the three ways in which the divine compassion, Midas HaRachmim, tempers the Midas HaDin, the act of judgment, by delaying punishment, number one. It withholds the total punishment and gives the opportunity for the person to repent. However, if a person does not take advantage of that, and by extension, if society doesn't take advantage of that, what happens? We see in this week's parsha what happens. The society was destroyed. Now, God did make a promise that He will never destroy the world, but that only applies to the world in its entirety. But, you know, as we find out in a couple weeks with Sodom and Amara, there are different parts of the world that have been destroyed, and we've seen that ever since. Different parts of the world have been destroyed. So we sit here with a heavy, very heavy heart. Once again, we see a pandemic, and we see the tremendous loss of life. And I think of the words of Kate's Kolbasar Bolofanai, that the grace period is over. The grace period is over. Or as we say in our times, the party is over. The party is over. So for a while, a lot of us have been thinking, we're just waiting for this COVID nightmare to be over. But the truth of the matter is, the opposite may be true. Maybe all the partying that took place all the years, you know, maybe that was the illusion. Maybe now is the real deal, that we have to be accountable to the Borei Olam. So what I'm saying is, it's really time to do some serious cheshbon hanefesh. It's time to do some cheshbon hanefesh and realize that the norms that we were accustomed to, the norms that we just assumed were around for years and decades, may not be around for the foreseeable future. May not be around. And just because we experienced bracha in the past may not be the case. Every single day that we get up and we're healthy and we're able to have freedom and we're able to have privileges, that's another day to be thankful for. We can't assume any bracha in life. We have to be worthy for every bracha. Rachamim is not something to assume will be indefinite. That's what we pray for every day in the modem. We say, Hatov ki lo chalu rachamecha. We pray to God, the good God, that his rachamim does not end. We want his rachamim to continue. Because we cannot live with this midas hadin, with this din that's going on. You know, we've been so accustomed to just thinking that life is somehow different. Everything, all the stories that we grew up with, that, you know, the Jews suffering throughout the years with persecution and all the years that they've lived in Europe, and there was pogroms and persecution and mass poverty and people, Jews living as second class citizens and so on and so forth. Those were days in the past. I'm not so sure that we can just, you know, divorce ourselves from the past. Zachar Yemos Olam. Binu Shnos Dor Vador, the Torah says, we always have to pay attention to the past, because when you pay attention to the past, that's an indicator for the future. And we like to believe that the norms that we've always had for the last several years and decades have just always been for the future. We're living in the United States, comfortable. It's not, these last several months have been very sobering, very eye-opening. And we cannot just assume that the rachamim that we've enjoyed for many years and decades are just going to continue. So my friends, I'm not here today to try to depress anybody. I'm not here today to try to do any fear-mongering. I'm not here today to project any fire and brimstone. I'm not here today to say God is punishing anybody. That's not my point. My point is to try to wake us all up and say, it's not business as usual. There's a point in the Torah called Din V'Cheshbon. There's consequences for our action. Kate's called Basar Balafanai. We have to be cognizant of that. I just want to make another important point. About the norms that we have had for many years as Jews here in the United States, and we've been blessed with rachamim here in the United States, with constitutional freedom, religious freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom to gather, freedom to worship. And we just assume it's just going to remain like that forever. Just assume the United States, it's enshrined in the Constitution. And we have to pray, you know, there's a election coming up, and presidents come and go. We say in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur liturgy, Hamamloch Melochim V'Halo Hamlucho. God ultimately has the Melucha. He anoints kings, he anoints presidents, they come and go. They take their authority from the Constitution. We like to believe the Constitution guarantees us freedoms. But not even that we have to think of as it's just rachamim. You know, I say this with a heavy heart. Let's think of, I'm just digressing for a moment, but it's just weighing on my, you know, the case of the Supreme, you know, we've all been paying attention. I know we've all been, I've been paying attention to the Supreme Court nominee, very interesting proceedings. Supreme Court nominee going through the Senate, Amy Coney Barrett. Anyways, so it's just reading up on, you know, some various famous and infamous Supreme Court cases in the United States. Korematsu versus the United States. So many of you may be familiar, maybe just to refresh your memory. 1942, 10 weeks after the United States entered World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt signed an executive order. Now, it wasn't even an act of Congress. It was an executive order. That means he just took an edict, a decree. Like, you know, I think of Ahasuerus in his office with Haman. You know, just like stamp, boom. Because as undemocratic as that can be. So what was the order? The order was to forcibly remove American citizens. Now, what was their crime? They had Japanese ancestry from their homes and put them in detention camps. And how many people? 120,000. 120,000 people? They were removed forcibly, transported by the military to many remote locations, and some of them were there for up to 3 years during the war. But many of them were, I don't know the exact, but many, if not most, were patriotic American citizens. This was the United States of America. The President of the United States, back then FDR, the Helga FDR, went and signed an executive order. So there was this guy, his name was Fred Korematsu. He was 23 years old. He was a Japanese-American citizen who did not comply with the order to leave his home and job, despite the fact that his parents had abandoned their home and their business in preparation for reporting to the camp. But Fred Korematsu planned to stay behind. He even had plastic surgery on his eyes to alter his Japanese-looking appearance and changed his name to Clyde Serra, and claimed he was of Spanish and Hawaiian descent. About 6 months later, after his failure to report to a detention camp, the FBI tracked him down and arrested him. So he's in, so the FBI, you know, we think about, like, this is World War II, but they have nothing better to, anyways. So, he's fighting, and he's gonna say, we're gonna sue, I have constitutional rights, and we're gonna go all the way to the Supreme Court. And what do you know? They appealed the decision all the way to the Supreme Court through the U.S. Court of Appeals, and they asked the Supreme Court of the United States to hear his case. And in December of 1944, I believe it was, they ruled that the government has a right to keep Korematsu in a detention center for national security reasons. How do you like that? And then he lost his case. What about his constitutional freedoms? What about his... Why am I saying this? What does this have to do with... What does it have to do with the topic at hand? I'm saying this with a heavy heart. Because we as Jews here in the United States, we walk around, you know, this time it's different, that we're not in Poland anymore, we're not in Eastern Europe, we have constitutional freedoms, we have religious freedoms, we're First Amendment people, you know, we're experts, you know. We have to remember that we're living with Rachamim. We're living with Rachamim. We have to say every day, Hatov kilo cholo rachamecha. Hatov, kiyochem, your rachamim should never run out. We should never hear the words, God should never say to us, Kates kobasar balafanai, the party's over. Because in a way, we're hearing that already with COVID, Kates kobasar balafanai. And if we don't get our act together, the sounds of Kates kobasar balafanai can just get louder. So we have to buckle down, we have to get more serious, we have to inject more godliness into our lives, because God is already starting to say to us, Kates kobasar balafanai, the party's over. Already norms that we thought we've had are unraveling. We can't afford to have the more norms unravel even further. Mr. Korematsu thought there were norms in his life that unraveled. and God should protect us, that those norms shouldn't unravel for us. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry if I sound to you a little weighed down this week. I'm sorry if I sound to you a little, you know, not as optimistic as I normally sound. But there's no guarantees they're always going to have happiness and joy. You know, sometimes God comes and he says, Kates kol basar bo lefanai. And he says, the party's over. We have to continue to pray for rachamim, and we have to continue to pray for compassion. We have to continue to pray that the days of darkness be over. We have to continue for the privileges that he has granted us. We should continue to pray for each other. We should continue to pray that the days of darkness come to an end. And let us continue for days to say, let there be light.